Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Regular Legislative Meeting, Part 1 of 2 Parts, April 14, 2015.
This meeting to order. This is Tuesday, April 14th. I apologize for starting about 5 minutes late here, but thank you all for coming. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I think we have a couple students up.
Now, weren't you here before?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, It's our pleasure to recognize your work at EP.
Thank you.
Recognition for volunteer service. It is an honor to present Amy Blum with recognition for many years of volunteer service to the School District of Cheltenham Township and the Elkins Park School. Presented this 14th day of April, 2015, signed by Napoleon Elson, President, Board of School, School Board of Directors.
I told Ms. Blum it didn't matter if she had been recognized by another school. Next on the agenda is artwork, so I'll fold right into artwork. The art program at Elkins Park School is vibrant, thanks to our three amazing art teachers, Ms. Denise Allen, Ms. Mia Fabrizio, and joining us here tonight, Ms. Julie Baines. Ms. Baines. Our art teachers are special because in addition to teaching every one of our over 700 students, they devote countless hours to our students and their art pursuits. Whether it's in after-school clubs, creating scenery for our school-based productions, or making signs for our athletic events, our art teachers are essential to the success of all our students. I'd like to draw your attention to the artwork on display. The first board displays cultural self-portraits that were painted by the sixth grade students in Ms. Baines' art class. Each child's portrait contains special cultural details that represents and celebrates their families. Each student included a paragraph about his or her heritage with the portrait. I was talking with Ms. Baines today, and what she said was amazing about the projects was the conversation that families had in getting ready to do the project, and I think that's one of the strengths of our art program. On the back and side walls are projects from Ms. Fabrizio's graphic arts classes. In this class, our sixth grade students use basic programs such as Microsoft Word and PowerPoint and the Mac photo booth to design the work on display. The learning goal of every project is to advance 21st century technological skills. Projects such as pop portrait, still life landscape, interior, and self-portrait collage provide the students with exposure to influential artists and concepts in art history. Finally, on the very back wall, our fifth grade students work with Ms. Allen to get excited about art. Fifth graders work with a variety of mediums. Lessons focus on art and art appreciation, not on a child's drawing ability. Students are introduced to various artists and their work, such as Warhol, Matisse, Kandinsky, and Monet. We hope that you have an opportunity this evening to enjoy our students' work. So thank you so much for continuing to support the arts in Cheltenham.
Come on.
This is all about Elkins Park. I am proud to present a new staff member to you tonight, Ms. Carrie Dankovich, and I'm going to have her come and stand with me, Ms. Carrie Dankovich. Ms. Dankovich was hired in August of 2014 to serve as a special education teacher at Elkins Park School. We are pleased to have her serving sixth grade students with IEPs. She pushes into classrooms, co-teaches reading and math, and meets the needs of each child on her caseload with distinction. Ms. Dankovich is sensitive, thoughtful, and a true team player. Her relationship building skills and ability to plan and implement rigorous curricula enables her students to flourish. Ms. Dankovich started at Elkins Park as a paraeducator for 2 years. And then she moved to Maryland, where she got some teaching experience in a classroom, and then she returned to EP to serve as a long-term substitute. She's a product of the School District of Cheltenham and one of my former students. So this is especially special for me. It is with great pleasure that I present Ms. Carrie Dankovich to you tonight.
Did
that, I say thank you and welcome home.
Thank you.
We also have some pretty tremendous recognitions, and it's always fun when we get to do this on the school board, recognizing some of our employees who've been with us for 25 years and counting. So I'm going to start by calling Dr. Bob.
Thank you very much. I would like to introduce four very dedicated employees of the Support Service Department. I also would like to share some of their talent with everyone. As you know, we start our work at 6 o'clock in the morning, so two of them ended up to drive and they couldn't make it today. So the first one is Sergio Stimelli. He's our district carpenter and mason. Sergio is responsible for all the carpentry, masonry, playground repairs, installing new floors and ceiling tiles, and concrete work throughout the school district. And some of his bigger jobs that he did, he built the outside sign at the Cheltenham High School. That was his work. And also outside garden of the Learning Center at the EP. And he's the one who completed the total project was under him. Also, I would like to introduce Ed McMahon. Ed is here. Could you come? Ed is a district master locksmith and carpenter. Ed is responsible for all the locks, keys, card access throughout the school district. He also involved in the district-wide carpentry work. Ed is actually a master carpenter. Ed works very hard with our security department. He makes all the access cards and keys and installs all new cords for all new buildings. We're doing this to just to save money, so Ed took that responsibility. Thank you, Ed. Thank you very much. Also, Robert Liepak. Yeah. Robert is a district master licensed electrician. Robert is responsible for all the outdoor and indoor lighting system, all the fixtures, there's thousands of them out there, and wiring, high voltage electrical system, all the electrical panels, clock system, clock's working, and fire alarm system throughout the district. He's responsible for all the installation of the new smart board throughout the schools. Thank you, Robert. Paul Cousin. Paul is not here tonight. Paul is a building mechanic. He's actually worked in the Cedarbrook West and the Cedarbrook East. He's responsible for the day-to-day operation of the school. Paul is skilled in all areas of the building mechanic. These value employees are expert in their field and they work together to accomplish any task that I assign to them. They are very talented people, but when we have a snow, we ride with the shovel, we go out and there's no shovel. So we all work together as a team. I just want to thank you for all your dedication. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your service. Mr. McMahon, I hope I'm giving you the right certificate. I am. Mr. Liepak, thank you. Ms. McMahon, here can read this. For 25 years of service award presented to Robert Liepak and Mr. McMahon, in grateful appreciation and recognition of dedication, service, and support for the education of students in the school district of Cheltenham Township, presented April 14, 2015, signed by Napoleon Nelson, President of the Board of School Directors, and Dr. P for the superintendent. Thank you very much.
Gallagher,
Camp, Cheltenham Class of 1973, who has been working with us for 25 years. Currently, she is the administrative assistant to Mr. James Joseph, assistant principal at Cheltenham High School. I hear every day I'm walking, Mr. Joseph! other positions that she's held in the district. Well, I've known Carol for many of her 25 years with the district, first working with her when she was an aide in the special education department and in the nurse's office at EP. She was the Cheltenham High School summer school secretary for 17 years. She also worked at the administration building and personnel during summers before she actually worked in summer school. So Carol's worked in a number of our buildings and has provided excellent service through those years. She's very proud that she is a graduate of this school system and greatly enjoys working with great staff, students, and parents every day. Carol, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for all the years that you all have put into this district. It's amazing because of you, and so we thank you. And I know we will have some more of these comments at the end of the meeting as well, so I will look forward to those. At this time, we'll turn to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I attended the district problem-solving bowl on Wednesday, March 25th at Elkins Park School, and I'm proud to say that 180 students from across the district participated in this event. Two of the teams competed at the state level this past weekend and have advanced to compete at the international level, which will be conducted June 10th through the 13th of this year in Iowa. I don't think since I've been superintendent I have missed a problem-solving bowl. This is probably one of the neatest things that you see the students do. It uses their intellectual skills, their creative skills, and their imagination. It's wonderful to see what they do. I'm really proud of how well we've done with the problem-solving bowl. We are in our PSSA testing window. We know our students are well prepared, and our teachers and students have worked hard to ensure their success. One of the things that we really excel at is our performances. And the musical 9-5 is being presented by our students at this high school. The musical will be held in the school auditorium April 16th. Through Saturday, April 18th. Some really good tickets are still available. I can't overemphasize the professional quality of our high school performances. They do a terrific job. Please come out and support our students. And our Cedarbrook musical is coming up, and it's the Addams Family. This musical will be held Thursday, April 23rd through Saturday, April 24th at the Springfield Township High School Auditorium. I want to thank Springfield for allowing us to do that. We don't have the auditorium because we're out of our Cedarbrook school, but they've allowed us to do this, and we're much appreciative. There are many personnel changes that are going to happen for some key personnel positions, including the superintendent and, as of today, two principals. We are going to be getting communications out to the community on where we are in these key personnel matters, and that will be coming out this coming week. Proud to say that we have an exchange of Israeli Arab students who are visiting our schools and our community. Dan Blitzstein, Iris Parker, and Mrs. Haywood welcomed those students yesterday morning, and the students will be involved in academic exchange opportunities and doing some regional sightseeing. We want to extend a warm welcome to Reza Verdi Furman, Montgomery County District Attorney, who will be addressing the Cheltenham's Women's Student Union tomorrow, Wednesday, April 15th, from 1:45 to 2:45. This Women's Student Union is a newly developed and student-led program in our high school, and we're really proud that they're stepping forward with their leadership. Seventh, sadly, I have to report the in-service passing of Vanessa Cameron, first grade teacher at Cheltenham Elementary. Vanessa was well-loved and respected by her colleagues and students. No less sad was the loss of Janice Elfline, a recent retiree at Elkins Park School. She was also loved and respected by her colleagues and students. These two professional women leave a legacy of leadership and teaching excellence. They were an inspiration for all of us. They will be missed.
With that, I feel that a moment of silence is probably best. Certainly very much well deserved by them, and so we ask for both that moment of silence and appreciation and respect for the time that they've given to our district. Thank you. We'll turn now to Mr. Roos, our solicitor, for the solicitor's report.
Thank you. I just wanted to report that the Department of Justice has recently sanctioned the school district in Rochester, New York for the district's violations of the law pertaining to use of a service dog by a student. That's timely because this board has already has on its agenda tonight passage of a policy for service animals. So the district will be in compliance.
Thank you. With that, we turn to public comments. Again, we are looking for public comments on agenda items only. We ask that if you have comments or questions, please come up, state your name, the part of the district in which you live, and we will try and refine this to a, I think we have 5 minutes maximum.
So I'm going to read, try to 5 minutes. Good evening. I'm Greta Willis, and I'm on the Citizen Panel of Professionals that's been seeking to help with the Cedar Grove project. I'm also a real estate development professional. I'm here to comment on the recommended 4-week public participation process our group sent to the board for the Cedar Grove project, in which we understand Dr. Bobby is a supporter. So first I'd like to make a few comments about public participation in design in general, and then give you some background on what we sent you. Projects that are undertaken with public participation will inevitably meet public needs better than those that do not have a meaningful process for communication between the project team and the community. And they're an excellent way to identify and address community concerns constructively. They are often the source of important information, calling attention to avoidable problems while they are still solvable. After this phase in the design process, many problems that were solvable become too expensive and time-consuming to address. So this is our moment to roll up our sleeves and with professional support of our design team, get our hands a little dirty, and gain a solid understanding of what it is we will spend approximately $50 million on. I don't know, I don't see our table. Do you guys have it? I apologize for not having this visible to the public.
I'm sure it's will be available someday. Oh, wait. No, that's all right. We'll see how this goes. Okay. So, looking at the table, you've got it. So, again, this is an overview of a 4-week public participation process. We put this together to share with you our professional standards for this set of circumstances. And it's meant to be a guidance. If you look at the rightmost column heading, you'll see concurrent data collection. This refers to the non-public meeting types of participation that could go on, such as focus groups, interviews, online surveys. You'll see there we've made a note about including an online process because we believe it will be an important component of the overall strategy for this project. So, public meetings are but one part of a larger process. They allow for more and wider engagement than most of the other methods, and again, can capture important information so that problems can be avoided in a cost-effective way. Now, if you look at the leftmost column, you'll see that we outline a four-week meeting schedule as follows. Week one, have two identical meetings for goal and objectives setting. We recommend two meetings so that more folks have a chance to attend. People are busy, and if they miss the first one, maybe they catch the second one. This meeting is about educating the public about issues involved with renovating Cedarbrook so they can understand the scope of this project and set informed goals and objectives for it. After a presentation by the architect of the problem/opportunity, which is the project, we recommend splitting into professionally facilitated working groups for discussion and the actual goal and objective setting. This is done by, usually by the architect or representatives of the architect. Then everybody comes back together, the facilitators share the results with the whole group, and that's week one. Week two, the architects would present the proposed conceptual plan to the entire group of attendees. Then, again, attendees split into working groups to discuss how the goals and objectives derived from week one are either met or not by the conceptual plan. And if not, what could be done to change that? We recommend the groups in this type of meeting be organized by program area. For example, one group might discuss transportation, one might discuss classrooms, etc. Again, we recommend a second such meeting so that more people can attend. This process concludes in week four with a meeting during which a presentation is made of the final conceptual plan that has been fine-tuned by the architect to incorporate public feedback from the previous 3 weeks. We would recommend that these meetings generally run 90 minutes with the exception of the last meeting, which could be shorter. My last comments about this table relate to the column entitled Participants. Here you see the stakeholders listed. Teachers, students, administration, staff, board members, and the public. Here we include a note about the participation of the board, which says we recommend board members to be present in each working group so you can hear directly what people are saying, what they care about, what works, what doesn't. And finally, as has been mentioned before, public meetings must be announced with as much notice as possible and via effective means to reach out to each type of stakeholder, whether it be newspaper, online social media, email blasts, phone calls, whatever it takes. In conclusion, our group remains excited about this project and is committed to helping in any way that we can. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you. Any other public questions or comments on agenda items?
My comments pertain to the Cedarbrook project. Joseph Simone, Landside, Pennsylvania. My comments pertain to the Cedarbrook project and the budget. And I'm here to ask why we are having a Cedarbrook project at this time. Our tax base is eroded. We have the highest taxes, one of the highest taxes in the state of Pennsylvania. Yet we clamor for more financial assistance from Harrisburg. A recent article in the paper recognized several school districts in the area and their performance. All of the school districts surrounded Cheltenham, and Cheltenham was not recognized. Household income in the last 10 years has gone down by $10,000. The tax base is horrible. We have a lot of ground that we could be building on, but we're not getting that job done because of our tax rates. So one question is, can anything be done about this? I don't hear anything on this agenda or other agendas that get to the heart of this problem. I got this in the mail about what qualities we would like to see in the new superintendent. And I'd like to know what is the structure that we are and have are adopting, or any changes to the structure, so that when we get a new superintendent, is he going to work within the same framework what we have now in Cheltenham? Now, maybe after thinking and talking about this, maybe we just aren't up to making changes. Maybe we have to accept what we have. Performance is not getting better. Taxes are going higher than anybody else. Real estate agents point out how reasonable the real estate is. And if a buyer is astute enough to recognize that their taxes are around 40 to 100% higher than neighboring school districts, they'll point that out to the real estate agent. If the real estate agent says, yes, but you're buying the house so low, it's a hell of an answer. So maybe we are just going to continue to accept what we have with continual raises in the tax, redoing the schools. And if so, it is what it is. I would like to offer one, two, three suggestions. Number one, announce a 20% reduction in real estate taxes. You will see development immediately start in this district. You will see the value of our homes increase immediately. Number two, we have 8 buildings, operate with 5. We're in the real estate management business here. Operate with 5 buildings instead of 8. And number three, change the entire structure of our operation. So either stay on the course you are now or adopt some recommendation and changes that make sense and can move this district forward instead of backwards.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your... Any other questions?
Good evening. My name is Milton Nesson. I'm very brief. Just a quick question. I know today you're going to consider the approval of the architect plan, which will then lead into the construction plan. My question is, has there been a final decision on where the Cedarbrook children will go for the remaining? Because I think that plan since 2017, and if that would affect the kids and the child return up in Park. I heard there's been some discussion about Upland Park students taking the monitors and so forth. I don't know if there's been a final decision. So my question is, that that will be discussed today as well, whether or not the final plan for the receivable kids for the facility to the completion of the project.
Thank you for your question. The final decision has not been made with regard to Elkins Park School. We are currently working on that. We are taking a look at the current structure where we have our students at Elkins Park School so we can fill the board in on what would be the recommendation for that school going forward. But the decision has not been made yet.
I'm sorry, do we have a time frame?
I'm going to defer. I don't know if we do have a time.
Not at this time, no. For Elkins Park.
And I'm allowed to make sure I take this moment to also answer the initial question that Mr. Simone asked, which is why are we entering a Cedar project now? And I think I would recommend both reviewing prior facilities reports that discuss the condition of the building as currently stands. We certainly need to have a location for our 7th and 8th grade students. And what we have right now won't do because they're spread throughout temporary locations. So the Elkins Park project is primarily to provide a permanent house for our 7th and 8th grade students. I'm sorry, I said Elkins Park, the Cedarbrook, certainly. Any other questions on agenda items? Seeing none, we will move on. Thank you. We have the approval of the minutes for both the February and March 10th board meetings. Any board comment? Okay, so we'll give this all. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. The Winkler Elementary project, Dr. Bowles.
Winkler Elementary School construction project update. 100% of the drywall has been completed in the second floor. Painting work in progress in the first floor and second floor. 95% of the ceiling tile, ceiling grid in the second floor classroom has been completed. Plaza floor in first floor and second floor work in progress. Cement siding 50% completed and exterior brick 60% completed. Electrical wiring roughly 100% completed in the second floor. Today, 136 tons of the waste has been recycled. This project overall 70% completed and is on time and within budget.
Thank you. Any concerns on that? Absolutely. If you can move on to Cedarbrook, please.
Cedarbrook project, on March 11th, the Office of Support Service Department sent RFP to 14 firms. On March 19th, six architectural firms visited the Cedarbrook building for walkthrough. On March 23rd, we received four bids from architectural firms and also met with each firm. On March 27th, our administrators interviewed four candidates. On March 30th, the administrator and panels of residents reviewed their proposal. That's concluded,
Mayor.
Thank you,
sir. Now we'll move on to the student representatives.
Hi, everybody. So for the high school, we had our spring fling slash Mr. Cheltenham pageant on Saturday, and it was a success. So we sold out. We made $2,000+. And congratulations to our seniors who competed and no class who won Mr. Cheltenham. So some sports announcements. The Cheltenham girls track team held their third annual invitational, so the Panther Classic, and after that meet, we have multiple state leaders in some events. The girls softball team had three wins last week, and the boys baseball team defeated Abington 8-7 in the walk-off. So very exciting. And lastly, our blood drive is April 24th from 8-1, so we're in the midst of signups for that right now.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for having us. I'd like to point out that we also beat Central Bucks West today, so that was good. Go us. We'd like to welcome the Arab Israeli students from Aroni Yavet in Tel Aviv Yafa. It's been a good experience having them, and we look forward to the rest of the week with them. I'd like to reiterate also that the district attorney, Ms. Furman, will be at our school tomorrow, and that's a really good opportunity. This is the first speaker of the Women's Student Union has hosted, and it would be great to see support not just from the student body, which we know will show up, but also from other interested groups in the community. It's open. I don't know if kids can get out of Cedarbrook, but I think it would be really great to see some of the younger students there, and parents and other interested members of the community. It's going to be a really great event, and I'm looking forward to it, so please come out for that. And lastly, actually two more things. Our Civil Mechanics Robotics team, Team 423, is currently competing for what I believe is a national title. They're not in the finals, but they are in the running for the title, and that's kind of a big deal. I know it's a team that doesn't get a lot of screen time, but they're doing really well, and that's something to be very proud of. It's really good to support science every school. I'm really proud of them. And lastly, myself and another student from our school, Alexis Grady, just completed a Keystone public service announcement. The students from Martin Luther King High School, we've done a little partnership with them, and we're going to be releasing that as a video that will be on our website. We're going to be spreading it on various forms of social media, and Martin Luther King High School will be spreading that. And the goal is to try and increase the number of students who are passing Keystones, which are coming up in about a month. As a lot of you know, sophomores and under will not be able to graduate unless they pass their Keystones. So our goal was to make sure people know that, because it's a really big deal. Starting this year, those kids can't graduate, and we currently have a lot of kids who haven't passed their Keystones. So we've created a public service announcement, and we'll also be hosting a kind of crash course tutoring session about a week before the actual Keystones. So that'll be coming down the pipeline, and look for that. We're really excited about it. Thank you.
Thank you. And one other item, I wasn't sure if either of you all were going to mention it, but certainly this Sunday is the Run for Jake. So by all means, everyone get out, get your running shoes, your walking shoes. And we'll see you out in running throughout the township. So look forward to that. Move on to the approval of the treasurer's report. We'll take another all in favor of approving the treasurer's report.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion also carries. Thank you very much. The MCIU report, Mr. Delgado.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Nelson. Dr. John George has been moving pretty fast at the MCIU. Just wanted to note that they do have a new logo and a rebranding of the organization. Things are moving in a positive direction at the IU. Something that they're focusing on is restructuring and working on their professional developments for all their different departments so they could be a better service to all the districts that they support. They did receive the Head Start grant. It's a $22 million grant that they received over 5 years. It allowed to hire 75 people, 6 administrators, so it's a definite positive thing for Montgomery County. Something else that the MCIU is looking at doing is a countywide cyber school program to bring some of the kids back to the districts. The cost would be at a much lesser rate than what the current cyber charter schools are charging the districts, kind of falling in line with Governor Wolf's proposal of what a cyber charter school should be charging districts. They're piloting something in the summer, which would be done by parents, and their expectation is to get something up and running for September. So that will be definitely help districts that have a lot of students fleeing to cyber schools. Just one more note, thought it was a great idea, and I wanted to mention it, but they're also looking at doing a mobile truck for fingerprinting, FBI fingerprinting, which is a new reoccurring mandate under Act 153, which requires employees and volunteers to get fingerprinting done at districts. So this mobile truck would come out to your district and let fingerprint your staff members and everything of that nature. So I thought it was a neat idea, great idea, and Dr. John George is being very creative in his first couple months in running MCIU and generating the revenue for that's it for me.
So, we'll now move on to the appointment of the open records officer. Again, pursuant to school code 67.502 and board policy number 801, it is recommended that the school, that the board of school directors appoint Crystal Manns as open records officer for a term to commence April 15, 2015, and end upon further action by the board. Very much. Mm-hmm. I will I'll go with Mr. Rackow, Mr. Anderson. Board comment. I will start by, I'll call the vote first, I'm sorry. We'll go down the line. Ms. Hawkins.
Aye.
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 Welcome aboard.
Aye.
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 And aye. Motion carried. We will also move to the second one, the appointment of board secretary. Again, the board of school directors recommends that Crystal Manns be appointed as secretary to the board for the school district effective April 14th, 2015 through June 30th, 2017 at an overtime rate of time and a half over 37 and a half hours per week.
Move to approve.
Yes.
Just to make this make sense, we should probably also move the appointment of her as an employee up to this point in the agenda. In other words, you're appointing somebody to pay overtime. We just take it for that entire year.
That sounds reasonable. Yeah. Did we get that in before the second, or should we add that in as an amendment to the motion here?
It's for speed.
So, in the personnel section, which is under administrative report section 8, item 4C is the approval of support staff. The administration recommends the appointment of Crystal Manns as the administrative assistant to the superintendent and board secretary to the administration building, confidential secretary, at a prorated salary of $60,000 to be hired provisionally pending statutory requirements effective April 15th, 2015. We will add this as an amendment to the existing motions. We have I soon need motion and second for the amendment to it as well.
Second.
Yes, please.
I want to happy to welcome Ms. Manns aboard. We've worked with her unofficially for a little bit of time, so it's nice to work with her officially as an employee, as the board secretary. I also want to thank the people who filled in for several months, Kara Chapman and Karen Howard, who did both of an excellent job, and we very much appreciate their help during the past months. Mm-hmm. So thank you to them for their assistance, and welcome aboard Ms. Manns.
Thank you.
Thank you. We need to vote on the second amendment separately, or can we just vote on the two altogether? Excellent. All right. I will call the vote on, again, the appointment of board secretary, as well as the amended appointment approval of support staff recommendations. Ms. Hawkins.
Aye.
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 Gladly.
Aye.
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 Aye. And aye. And I will reiterate the thank yous to both Ms. Howard and Ms. Chapman for your work, and I will say to you as well, welcome home.
Thank you.
Excellent. Eastern Center for Arts and Technology, Ms. Gray.
That's okay, we forgive you. The Joint Committee of Eastern Center for Arts and Technology met last Wednesday. The biggest discussion of the meeting was the formulation of policy B-125. First reading of this policy was approved by the Joint Committee. This policy involves students who are expelled from their sending school and who have committed level 4 offenses. The administration felt that these students should also be expelled from Eastern. In past cases where students were expelled from their sending school, they in some cases continued at Eastern. The administration indicated that they had already touched base with the superintendents from the 9 sending school districts. The joint committee asked questions about this new policy and were generally in agreement with it. We also looked at the instructor's salary for 14-15 and 15-16 school years. We discussed it, and the administrators explained how they determine their salaries. They take the average of the teachers who earned a master's degree plus 30 credits in the 9 sending schools, and once they've calculated that average, they then work backwards to determine the salary matrix for the teachers. So as they put in more years and get more certificates, then they can increase their salaries. Another presentation was Eastern Strategic Plan from 2015 to 2021. They discussed how they developed it and the people involved in developing that plan. And it will be posted on their website for the next 28 days. They also talk about a number of computer programs that are used in their technology departments, and they're available for students 24/7. For example, the automotive technology has a program called CDX, which allows students to practice on things before they actually work on cars and could possibly blow up something. So we don't want that to happen. But they're excellent programs, and students can practice things, like I said, 24/7. And finally, once again, parents, if your child has any interest in vocational, Eastern has a number of really good and very worthwhile vocational programs at their school, so please check them out. The next meeting is on May 13th at Eastern Art and Technology Center. And that concludes my report, Mr. Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. And just as a brief follow-up to Mr. Molloy's report, Eastern has requested that the district enter into a memorandum of understanding with Eastern and the other participating school districts on the reciprocation of expulsion. So that will be coming before the boards.
Thank you, Lord, for that. Sunshine announcements are as listed. Excellent. The committee reports section for the financial affairs, Mr. Delgado.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Delgado.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us, and have a great day.